because usually I don't need that. When they call in so late, I never have any. Thank you.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories. They all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2755. That's 2755. I'm Carol Levine and I am Vice President of NASCA. And tonight we're supposed to be having a guest and her name is Jennifer Corona from Houston, Texas. She is a returning NASCA family member who was with us way back in 2018. And I'm hoping that you'll call in. Otherwise, we will have a question and answer type of night. You can feel free to call in and ask me any question you want, bye-bye, and I'll answer it. The number here is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. We do have John also here. That's great. And I know Bill is in the
Hello.
Background. So who is the 931 area code? Who am I speaking to? Let me get this mic open.
You don't know me by now, I tell you.
I met you, by God. This is my little sis. I call her my little sis. Yes, I do. It's Darlene. Oh, my God.
Is this Darlene?
Maybe. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I thought so.
I should plaster her number on my wall in big letters. It's so stupid. We talk almost every night. You'd think that I would get it through my head. Okay. But anyway, I think that's funny.
You got
but
enough
anyway,
on your,
okay.
You got enough in your head anyway. You know, there's so many numbers you see per day anyway, so I don't fault you any.
No, thank you, sweetheart, for that. It's my phone is going all the time, and I couldn't even begin to remember all the telephone numbers that come in here. But anyway, yes, we do have a guest. Maybe Bill is contacting her. That would be good if he would do that. Jennifer Corona from Houston, Texas. I had emailed her, and she, as far as I know, she was going to come in. But anyway, if she doesn't, that's okay. It's not okay, but, you know, we have so much to talk about, oh, my God, with child abuse. And so anyway, what I'm going to do is until she does, you know, come in, there's one thing I want to read. I'm going to give her a few minutes. She might just be running behind time or something. Once in a while. Okay, in the last, I don't know, 11 years, when this came to my attention, and it was written by one of our NASCA people that had been here at that time, but this is something that is just so spot on. And it's called the 15-Minute Challenge, okay? So I want everyone to listen to this, because this is what child abuse is about.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, with the NASCA statement that we always read that also, too, and that's about prevention, intervention, and recovery, all right? But I want to read this. It says, I ask everyone who cares about the issues of child abuse and the protection of children to take the 15-minute challenge. Whether you set a timer for 15 minutes or just watch the clock, I ask you to take this 15 minutes. To think about how much we can do in 15 minutes or how little, but what each 15 minutes looks like to a child who is being beaten, burned, sexually abused, raped, or sodomized. 15 minutes is not a lot of time to most people, waiting for the coffee to perk, going out to pick up the newspaper, waiting in traffic during rush hour, waiting in grocery store lines, brushing your teeth, and catching some of the late night news before bedtime. But 15 minutes to a child who is being sexually abused in any way can have tragic and fatal consequences. 15 minutes of a child being sexually abused, raped, and sodomized will change their lives forever. While the perpetrators of the abuse, the child sexual predators, the pedophiles, the family members, and other members of our society get over their 15 minutes of gratification, the child is impacted with physical problems, emotional problems, and psychological problems for life. 15 minutes to a child who is being abused in a way is a life sentence. 15 minutes is how long it took for my abuser, meaning the person who wrote this, to bind and gag me, rape and sodomize me, sexually abuse me. And while that person got their 15 minutes of sexual gratification, I got a life sentence of pain in every way. All it took was 15 minutes to turn an 8-year-old girl into a sex toy for my abuser. Okay? Children cannot wait 15 minutes for someone to protect them, for someone to care, for something to be done. Please take 15 minutes every now and then and put yourself in an abused child's body and mind and remember why so many of us are fighting so hard to save them. Thanks all for the help that you do to stop child abuse and save children's lives. Now, that's a NASCA supporter. She's from Canada. And every once in a while, I will read that because it's so, so true, okay? And that's what we fight so hard here at NASCA, you know, is to try and educate people, you know, about abuse and so forth. So anyway, I see that our founder is on now also. I do have the mission statement. I will be reading it, I think, if I can find it. I have so much paperwork. Okay, anyway, we're about prevention, intervention, and recovery. And this is what we work so hard with at NASCA, is trying to educate the public, okay? And it's my thought with prevention, especially with prevention, of the three, they're all three very important. But with prevention, if we could be educating society, and we are doing that, don't get me wrong, we write our books, we do our poetry, we sing our songs, we do all kinds of things, we blog, we go out and do presentations when we're asked and when we can, or we have other events. There's things that we always do, okay, to try and educate the public. And believe me, this past 10 years has made a big difference, okay? I know this because I worked in the field and I see it. So, okay, the awareness is there, but what we have to do is to get people to become proactive, okay, proactive. And there's ways of doing that. We need to give them the proper tools. And anytime you want to learn, and parents, make it your business. Make it your business to be a part of parenting, to sit your children down, all right, and to educate them about the perpetrators out there. Age appropriately. Now, you can go right on our NASCA website. You can do that. And you will find all types of information. So I'll give you the website. That's NASCA.org, NASCA.org. Now, on our website, what we have is, you scroll down a little bit, you will see red blocks, and inside the red blocks, there are all different categories. Number one, at the left, starting with programs, and you go all the way all across the NASCA website, and you open them all up, and you will learn how to speak to your children. All right, you can role play if you're a married couple, okay? Role play, and you know, because so often, and I found this out through presentations, people feel funny about talking to their children. They'll say, "I want my child." This happened in my own family, and I got so mad because they should know better. I want my child to say as innocent as possible for as long as they can. People, we do not live in an innocent world, okay? You're not doing a service to your children if you don't teach them about the ways of the world so that they can protect themselves better. Now, David, I forget his last name, Whitman or something close to that. Pittman, that's it, Pittman. He has very good articles on the website, and to tell you and to teach you, you know, how to talk to your children about what I'm speaking about. The perpetrators out there, the red flags to look for, okay? We didn't have this years ago. We have it now. We've had it for actually on NASCA for several years. And at times on nights like this, you know, we do talk about, you know, the red flags. You know, what are the red flags? What to look for? The grooming process. I had someone ask me the other day, what does it mean to be groomed? Because they actually didn't know. Well, to us at NASCA, we know this. We know it well. You can either be very volatile, your abusers, or they can groom you. It's either one or the two. It seems like there's nothing in between. So being groomed is, unfortunately, being groomed is, like a neighbor. So like some guy, he comes into your neighborhood. He's new to the neighborhood. You're having a cookout. Let's invite him over. He seems like a nice guy. He's got a nice house. He's got a nice car. And when you say hello to him, he says hello back. Don't have that here. But anyway, okay. So the point is, he seems like someone you'd like to have maybe at your barbecue. Well, he might be a pedophile. You don't know this. We don't know whether he is or whether he's not. Okay? But if that person starts displaying certain types of behavior, which is what I speak about at presentations too, the behavior. If that individual wants to really be more with the kids, say the kids are playing football or baseball or something, and they're hanging around the kids too much, it's okay for an adult to go over, throw the ball, maybe even hit a ball, whatever, and then go back to the adults. Nothing wrong with that. But if that person is hanging around the kids for too long of a period of time, a red flag should go up because he should really want to be, you know, with, you know, the people of his own age and to get to know his better, the neighborhood better and his neighbors. Well, it makes common sense. So you have to be careful. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way that it is. We have millions of American adult survivors in this country, millions, okay? The stats are never quite the same, so I'm not going to say what they are. But I can tell you there's millions. And years ago, parents didn't sit their children down. They didn't know that they should. And tell them about the ways of the world. And what happened is there's been so many people who, as children, were abused by adults. And they had a horrific life, many of them. Many of them came from horrific homes. And then you have those, maybe they came from okay homes, but there was still, they had the pedophile down the street who chose to pick his prey, that's P-R-E-Y, and abuse that prey, okay, that child. And how does he, and I'm going to have to say this, how does he or she do this? We never talk about the female pedophiles. They make that kid feel special. They watch the family a little bit. And they say they have three children. And maybe there's one that's, they always say the middle kid, don't they? I don't know. I wasn't one of three children, so I don't know. But we'll use the poor middle kid. Usually it doesn't get quite as much attention as the other two for whatever reason. And the kid maybe is, you know, walks with his head down or her head down, whatever. Doesn't matter the sex. So this pedophile will befriend the child and make them feel special, and that's what happens, okay? And before you know it, this lady or man has that child maybe over at their house. And then slowly, they feel like they have all the time in the world, slowly, might take a couple of weeks, they're grooming them, buying them gifts, maybe let them drink a little bit of alcohol, yes.
Carol,
yes.
When you finish your sentence, I'll see what's going on. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Okay, so this is important. So what they do is, and I'm a little upset because I just was working with one of these. All right, here it is. So what they do is they groom the child, totally groom the child, and make them feel special because they already don't feel special at home. So they give them
okay.
what the child is looking for.
You
get and before
it.
You know it, all right, let me finish
yes.
my sentence. Thank you.
Yeah, you did just say this. You said this earlier, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say it again. Okay.
Go
so
ahead.
Before you know it, before you know it, before you know it, the child is being sexually abused. Now, I see we have a 480 area code number. Is anyone aware of that? Let me see who this
That's
is.
That's not what I'm here to tell you about. I'm here to
okay.
tell you about.
Deborah Hunt. Who am I
Deborah
speaking
Hunt.
To?
I'm
this
not here to tell you.
Go ahead.
Deborah Hunt, but Carol, if your co-host calls in, you better find out what he's doing, especially when he went to find the guest, right? It's
well,
Deborah Hunt on the
480
line. Okay, she's on the line with me is the point, and it's not
okay.
who you expect. It's I think I screwed up somehow because I have one gal's name and description in the slot, and the other gal's website and like LinkedIn stuff in the spot. So our guest tonight mm-hmm. was I had it as one person, and it's not her. It's going to be instead of Jennifer Corona, it's going to be
yes, it does.
What? Yeah, it's
yes,
the wrong person.
In, right in the studio.
Maybe Jillian.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I wrote all this. It's going to be Jillian.
I know you
Seth,
did. Okay. Well, she's on the phone then. She's on the phone then. Is she on the phone?
Yes. Yes. She's
okay.
On phone.
Now you be quiet. I'll be quiet. And let's find out about her. Okay. Jillian, are you there?
I am here. How are you? How about we just go ahead and let's clear the air. Let's destroy
oh,
and create
no
all the ways
oh.
that, okay, excuse me, I want to talk. I have the floor. You've had plenty of time to talk. You've told him to stop talking, so I'm going to talk. So I would
okay.
love to clear
Sounds
the
good.
Air and destroy and uncreate all the ways that this is right and this is wrong, and in any lifetime that we've been wrong or we've been right, let's destroy and uncreate that because we're all infinite beings. And infinite beings everywhere. So an infinite being is going to choose joy, happiness, ease, and glory. How does that sound? Can we do that right now?
Amen.
Can you choose that? Awesome.
I can deal with that.
God talk, all nine short boys and beyond. Woo! We cleared that air. How did it get any better than that?
Good God.
Hallelujah. Good
okay,
God.
Jillian.
Yeah, good God.
Oh, hold on a
what?
Second.
Yes. Woo!
Jillian, okay, let me explain something to you, okay? I'm the host tonight. Now, this is what happens. If someone doesn't show up for the show, then it's up to the host to come up with a topic. So that's why I was speaking as I was. All right, that's number one. Number two, I'm very glad that you are here. Now, I probably wrote you in an email, you know, what you do, you know, on the show. And what you do on the show is you tell your story because it's Friday night. We do this Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, okay? And today is Friday. So why don't you, if you don't mind, why don't you go ahead and start telling your story so that we can have a show, okay? And I'm sorry that there was a mix-up, evidently, as to who was supposed to be on the show tonight. Okay.
You should never apologize for anything. No one's perfect. And my name is Jillian Edwards Coburn. I am a survivor. I'm a thriver. And I am a two-time published author. And I'm not pretty sure that you did email me because I never received any emails from you with my bio. So I
okay.
apologize
well,
if
I don't
you did not get that.
Part.
So I'll give you a little bit about myself since you don't have that information, and I'll be gladly to provide it for you. All right? So
well, okay,
I am
I
a two-time published author. I'm an advocate. Mm-hmm. I'm an advocate. I am the vice president of SA. I'm also sitting on the board for SCSA. I just recently helped pass Bill 492 in the state of Louisiana, where we open up the statute of limitations so that survivors can have the right to seek their day for justice against their perpetrators. I am a spitfire. I don't take shit from anybody. Excuse my language.
Oh, good. You and me both. Okay, let's go.
I don't let anyone muzzle my voice. I have a voice. God gave me that voice. And I'll never be perpetrated again. I have been abused physically, sexually, mentally, financially, sexually, and spiritual. The most worst entire abuse that I could have ever experienced in my entire life. And I feel for so many people that have been wounded by their institutions that they uphold in a pedestal. I work diligently with the Boy Scouts of America. I work with human trafficking clients. I work daily with wounded people to get them in the right path so that they can have the roadmap that I never had. I want everyone to be successful because we are alive for a reason. We are alive, and if you can't figure out your purpose, that's okay. Because you know what? Later on, once you're healed, you'll figure it out. That's me in a box. I'm a mom of three. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a child of God. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior mom. And that's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sound like the rest of us. And that's why you were called to be on the show, okay? You see,
no,
we don't take yard sticks. Well, we don't take yardsticks, you know, and measure, you know, how many times a person was abused or everything you just spoke about, and we are not alone, okay, Jillian. We are not unique, believe it or not. Physical, mental, emotional, sexual, and neglect. I went through all five of them, and I'm still standing. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of us that are still standing. So I'm glad you're a warrior. We consider ourselves warriors, too, here, right here on NASCA, because we all fight. We fight every day, okay? I'm up until 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning because I'm the night owl, and I receive phone calls from people until 3, 4, 5, sometimes a little bit later, until 6 o'clock in the morning. So we all know what it's like to be a warrior, and what we're trying to do at NASCA is for all of we warriors, you know, to work together. And we don't, again, use a yardstick as to who does what and who does this and all this other stuff. We just work together. Why don't you start out by telling us your story as to the earliest time that you were abused, okay? Like with me, it was sexual abuse was at the age of actually at 6.
My first age of recollection of abuse was probably about 5 or 6, and it wasn't sexual. It was definitely verbal. I had a father who was suffering with hepatitis C. He had a massive heart attack. He had tainted blood that he was unaware of because back in the days, it did not test blood. He would get angry. He would yell. He would scream. He would shake me. And until actually doing a lot of work on my end, I realized that that was not okay. My first encounter of physical altercation would be at the age of 15, and I was dating a boy that was 21. He threw a beer bottle at me. He shook me. He was incarcerated for domestic violence. And the cycle of abuse continued, just like any cycle of abuse. If you're unaware, you only know what you know. You're not educated in it, so you just think that that's okay, right? At the age of 18, I found myself having a beautiful, wonderful, intelligent daughter and married. And I was married to a drug addict slash alcoholic who we both did not know what we were doing. And I'm not giving him credit, nor am I directing anything in that venue, per se, but, you know, when you're so young and you don't have any tools in your toolbox to direct you or facilitates you in the right direction. You only know what you know. And I stayed as a good Catholic girl would stay in a marriage so that I could provide a wonderful family, which it wasn't. And I stayed when my son, my middle son, who's now 16, I had him at 23, and my father was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer, and he was one of the testes for the hepatitis C, actually miracle cure, and he died. He died, and my whole world fell apart. And it fell apart because he did everything for me. And I think a very difficult task that people find is that they don't know, and nor can they identify, that their behaviors are not right. There's no responsibility, and there's no accountability on behalf of that person, right? Because you only know what you know. And after one bad relationship, after one bad relationship, I had an awakening. And that awakening was being arrested as I was set up, because I decided to leave once my father did die. And my husband set me up with the police, and I sold illegal and illicit drugs to an undercover agent. I was then arrested, and my breaking point was seeing my 12-year-old daughter behind a treatment facility, knowing she needed me. And I knew that I needed to level up. I knew that I needed to say, hey, I need some help. And I did get the help that I needed. And ever since then, I tried my hardest to not stay in this cycle of abuse, but I did stay in this cycle of abuse. I had no self-worth for myself. I abused my body. I abused myself, and I abused my own children by allowing them to see the things that they didn't see. And I get it. I get it when I speak with my human trafficking clients. I get it when I speak with my abuse clients. It's hard, but at the same time, it's refreshing to know that I can provide a roadmap for those that are stuck. And the ultimate abuse, I feel, is spiritual abuse, and that happened in a later lifetime when I was 30. I'm going to be 40 in December, so in 2017. So 4 years ago, then that would make me 36 years of age, and I was abused by a priest that had these healing anointments. Killed thousands of people, and I brought my girlfriend, who's been my friend for 25 plus years, to him, and we both were abused by him because he told us that we had demons on our bodies and that we needed him in order to exalt those types of demonic activity that was going on that was not going on in our bodies. So a lot of brainwashing was going on. Fast forward to where I am now. 5 years in EMDR, working from the first traumatic episode to hopefully, you know, the last episode of abuse, and realizing that I'm not a 17-year-old, I'm not a 15-year-old, I'm not a 23-year-old, I'm not a 30-year-old, I am a badass 39-year-old who thrives, who has the tools and the techniques and the life skills that she needs in order to be aware, to recognize when things don't feel right, and actually trusting your gut. And a lot of times people don't trust that gut, right? They don't think that, oh, man, that doesn't feel right, and evaluating why it may not feel right. Because something that I have learned as becoming a practitioner healing is when we have those gut feelings when things don't seem right, attached to it. But when things are flowing freely within us and we're like, oh, yeah, that feels great, 9 out of 10 times, it's okay. But when we have that, that achiness that we may get in our stomach, a sensation, there's a lie attached to it. And that took a lot of obedience that took a lot of discipline and that took a lot of owning my own stuff. And so I try to show others that, hey, when I see them for the first time and they're like, hey, this is the first time I'm ever sharing my story, that's okay. Let this day be the beginning of your healing journey. And so I support it. I'm lucky that I'm involved with an organization that has a women's group that meets on Sundays. It allows for different modalities such as rapid eye movement, such as EMDR, such as talk therapy, that we can refer them out so that they can begin their healing journey. So that's mm-hmm. me. I'm very unique, and there's nothing wrong with being unique. And I love who I am now. I cherish my family. I cherish myself, more importantly, and I set boundaries because I think it's very important to set boundaries as an advocate because we don't need the trauma bonding. Because when we go into trauma bonding, then that's when things start to collide. And when I mean things start to collide, you start associating yourself, you start to remember those things that you've already squashed out, and you're not helping your victim. And I think it's very important that trauma bonding does not happen. If you notice that there is some type of hint, type of traumatic episode going on, I refer them out to a specialist because I am not a licensed therapist. Yes, I am educated into trauma, but I'm not a specialist. I don't do that work. I don't have a license to hold and have that responsibility. And so that's when I set boundaries. I'm not going to answer my phone when I know that I might have a human trafficking client that is having a processing when I've been processing with that person all day. I shut my phone off because my family comes first. And that's just me. And everyone's different. And there's no judgment for that. But that's what I use in my world that I live in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm glad you put your children first. That's something that I'm sorry, I have to send this out. Okay. One thing that you know, it's always wonderful to get involved with all different programs, whatever. And a lot of us here at NASCA do that, okay? We have several people right here on the panel that are involved in different programs. Bill had once said a long time ago, you know, it's good if we can get all the people like ourselves, you know, under one umbrella, because then, you know, we could have even a bigger voice and maybe more action if we were all at the same goal level, you know, all trying to do good for the people who need help. And that's what we do here at NASCA. And I think it's very important for us to put our family first because so many times those of us who have gone through so much abuse or maybe just a little bit of abuse, it doesn't matter. We're all suffering many times from PTSD or complex PTSD, which happens when, you know, you're abused time after time after time and maybe in each category, whatever. I had PTSD also. What happens is that we focus so much on ourselves, you know, that can happen, that we can't see beyond our own nose. We have to take care of our children. I came from a family that they didn't care about their kids, and I ended up out on the street. So I know where you've been because I've been there, okay? And I learned a lot of things. I saw people die right in front of me, and it's a disgusting thing to see people shooting up heroin and having them die, and you can't fix that, okay? And I'm the drunk, so they bought me my booze, and they chewed up their heroin. And no one cared whether I went home or I didn't go home. So a lot of times I stayed out on the street because I got better treatment out on the street than I did at home, believe it or not. So, you see, we all have our stories, okay? We all have our stories. And so what we're trying to get across to the public, to people who are listening now, who are streaming in, there's a lot of people who listen right to their computer. So they heard everything that happened tonight, you know, all this stuff. And that's okay, okay? Because, you see, I don't care. I want people to understand that NASCA and other organizations, you know, who work with child abuse, We're here to help you, all right? We're here to help you, and we understand you because we've been there. We get it. We get it. Now, I could only hear half of what you said because I had to move my cell phone finally. It was going off too much, and I just had to send out a so I'm going to give you two to John and see if he has any questions, you know, to ask you about what you had been saying, okay? John, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
We hear you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to make sure you can hear me. Mm-hmm. Well, how are you doing, Jillian?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
Good. I miss you so much. You know, I love you so much, too, for everything you do, you know, and you know, you hit it kind of right on the head about, you know, about being unique, okay? And I think that's one thing that we have in common so much of, you know. And the way that our life is, and we all go through this, and we pretty much are on the same level as far as things go in my eyes, because I see the way you live your life. And the same thing with you, Carol, you know, and everybody, Darlene, Bill, you know. Being unique is the way that we became, you know, and it's because of what happened to us early, you know. It's almost like we were trained to become that way. And once we did, we grew up, you know, and, we realized that if anybody's going to stop this in this world, it's going to be us. It's going to have to be us because nobody else did it before, you know. And now that, you know, you're talking about the statute of limitations, I went 4 days, okay? One day I was there for 16 hours just to represent, you know, and I thought we were not going to get that bill passed. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it came back. Not only did they abolish it, but we also had incentives, you know. And when that happened, you know, all I could think about was everybody here. All I could think about was all the kids in the world. All I could think about, unborn children that are going to have, you know, this available in case something happens to them, you know, forever now. And there's nothing more. That's such a great feeling. And Jillian, I know you had a big part of that, you know, and so did I, and so did Richard and Ricky Trahan, so many people involved. And that's what it takes, you know. It takes people getting in there and getting it done, you know, because now, you know, now it's different. You know, just like Jillian, she is a warrior, I want to tell you all. And she's like me. I mean, we don't stop. And we're not scared, and we really don't care about, you know, who's standing in front of us telling no, you know, saying no. Uh-uh. That only gets me riled up, you know, and saying, look, there's always a different way to make something happen positive. And I can't wait to hear the rest of your story, Jillian, you know, because I've never really heard your story. I've read it, but coming from you, and knowing that you, you know, New Orleans and all, and I know you so well, I just want to try to put this into perspective because of your experience, all your books and everything you've done. You know, you are such a role model for everyone that I know, especially with our organization. You know, every time that we run into issues. And this stands for everybody. It doesn't matter who it is that we all get together. We talk about it, and it's always the same thing about making it happen instead of talking about it. You know, it's about getting it done. And that's what we do now, you know, all of us. Every one of us that are on this tonight, we are getting this done. And I love you all so much for that. You have no idea how you all actually inspire me every day. You know, and you too, Jillian. You know, that's why I love you so much, girl. So I just want to make sure you know that, okay?
Oh, Boo, I love you too. And it's inspiring to know that, you know, it is about, I worry this child that just jumped into my car, the 8-year-old, that is going to have to get out in like 5 seconds. It's about the future of them. Because
mm-hmm.
how hard is it going to be for me to tell these Boy Scouts, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you poured your heart out to me, but I'm going to work on trying to open up that statute of limitation. That's a hard thing that I go through on a daily basis, and that's why I think I work so hard, because it's not an easy thing to come forward. I mean, I can remember working in a poverty Catholic school, and irony, and I was talking about it in a therapy the other day. I went to confession to confess a sin about something, and that in particular priest, he was one of the priests that was listed on the abusers, you know? So was my sins actually absolved is what my mind was going through, right? I tell a sin, I'm hoping that the channel communication as a devout Catholic that I am, because I am still Catholic, was it absolved? And I think that's why later on in life I sought out a healing priest, because we put people in authority. I mean, my background and my history, guys, is that my great uncle was one of the best priests at St. Peter's in Carancro, Louisiana. I would never go to confession to him because it's just kind of weird to go confession with your uncle. The boys would, but there were 33 of us as cousins. And when I finally came out about my truth about what happened to me as an adult, I went to my uncle and some mystical things happened. And when I sat down with my uncle and he shared a story with me, how he was abused multiple times by multiple priests in the diocese, it was like, why didn't my parents tell me about this? Why did my parents spoon feed me to believe that we have to put priests on a pedestal? That's not true. That's not true. And if I would have known that, I wouldn't have put all my eggs in a basket. And so what I do for my own self is make, and maybe I'm just like a high vigilant person because I've worked in a facility where Bobby Dindal was in office and he had two schools, one in Covington and one in Youngsville, Louisiana. And I worked at a school in Youngsville, Louisiana, where I taught child molesters that range between the ages of 7 to 17. So I worked with probation officers. I worked with psychiatrists. I worked with counselors. I know the whole cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know it because it's like you have kids that are going home to empty homes. I didn't go home to an empty home. I went home to the most magical family that you should think of, you know? And I asked my mom the other day, I'm like, man, why you didn't tell me about my uncle? Why you didn't tell me that he got abused by two priests? Why was that not something we put on a damn table? Because I'd be damn sure if someone hurts my little 8-year-old. I'd be damn sure if someone hurts my little 16-year-old. I'd be damn sure if someone touches my 21-year-old. Because you know what? You might see me on the news. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like if we as parents don't educate ourselves, we don't educate our little ones, they're vulnerable. There's a wolf waiting for them.
That is exactly right, girl.
A wolf's going to eat them alive. Because you know what? If you report stuff anonymously, now, thank God, Pope Francis, I don't know why he came up with what he did, but he's making the bishops accountable. You better report that shit, but you can agree with me, John.
Yes,
the state police,
absolutely.
Our attorney general,
okay.
Our governor,
okay.
They're all Catholic.
Okay, let's stop right there, okay? First of all, I'm Catholic too, and I have to be on the flip side of the coin, because if it wasn't for my church in St. James, mine was in St. James down in Red Bank, New Jersey. I moved from New York into New Jersey, back forth, well, They got a hold of me, and they saved my life, okay? So we all have our stories. Now, every organization, whether it be the Boy Scouts, whether it be the churches, I'm going to have to say churches because it's not just the Catholic Church. They've gotten the worst heat, yes. But all of them, every single one of them has sexual abuse in it where kids are getting, and this is a horrific thing, where kids are getting abused. And they have a way of doing the same thing as the Catholic Church. Or we'll get our own people in to investigate. And then that person who is the abuser all of a sudden disappears, maybe to another parish out in Oshkosh, all right? We all know the stories about this. And yes, it is something that needs to be fought. And there are a lot of people who are fighting the fight because we all know it. So, you know, whether it be in, I don't care what organization you talk about, there is this problem. Now, let me go down. John, thank you for the interaction between you. I didn't know that you knew her, and I'm sorry, but I send emails to people that I get, you know, names for. So if I didn't send you one, I didn't know you were supposed to be on.
No, that's okay. Yeah, absolutely. We're very good friends. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing that I love all of you. And Jillian, thank you so much for coming on tonight, Becky.
Okay, that's fine.
I love you, too.
Okay. Okay, now, what we're going to do here is I have a list of people here who have called in, so I don't want them to feel left out. I have Darlene. Yes, Darlene, whom I should know your telephone number. Oh, that's funny. All right, Darlene, do you have a question you'd like to ask or make a comment?
Hey, Jillian. Can you hear me? Hey, Miss Darlene, I'm here.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice again.
Yes, ma'am, and I'm here.
Yeah, I know you're the go-getter, girl. You get her done.
Yes,
you got so much going on. I know, wish I could have at least an inkling of the energy that you got.
Do you have a question you want to ask, or what? Go ahead.
You are a positive role model, and she did come on my show also, Carol, so I do know a lot about her, and plus I'm over there at SCSA as well. I go to the support group there, too. Mm-hmm. And Gillian and John both belong there, as well as Richard. And that's like what's his name said, that, you know, working together, you know, there's no competition. It's everybody working together to get it out there.
That's right.
And
that's
Gillian,
exactly right.
Really,
that's right.
It really gets it out there. And I'm so proud of her, Richard, and John for helping get that statute of limitations for Louisiana opened up, you know, and because look
I've
at
heard
this,
about
you
that.
Know, it's not just the kids for the future. There's a lot of us adults that don't remember the abuse till a lot of years later. Then it's like we can't do nothing about it. It's been so long
ago. Right.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Exactly. And you know what? They actually have a 3-year window to go back and go criminal. Okay, as of July 1st.
Uh-huh.
So they can, that's right. Yeah, at any age, you know. So they have 3 years, 3 years. That's extensive. I mean, you know, they actually went over and above, and it floored me. It really did floor me. All right, that's all
okay.
I have to say.
Now, let me say something about the SOL, the Statute of Limitations. We have people that are fighting today about the Statute of Limitations. There shouldn't be any statute of limitations because, like I read from that 15-minute challenge, which I love what that woman had written, you know, it does kill a certain part of a child when they're being sexually abused, and it goes on and on and on, and physical, mental, emotional neglect, all the abuses, a lot of times there's all of them, okay, with a lot of this. And it does kill that child's spirit. There should not be any statute of limitations. So we have people out there like Marcy Hamilton She is fighting against the statute of limitations, and she has her crew that work with her and under her also. And state by state, although, however, of course, is not nearly a, you know, that many, but each one is a victory. All right, it's a victory. And
right.
I was protesting out down in Hunterdon, New Jersey, because this guy who was working with the detention center down there, and he was going in and taking kids out at night, boys, and he was raping them. And I don't care how old you are, okay? When these kids turned into adults, they started to rebel. His last name was Bullock. That's B-U-L-L-O-C-K, okay? He wasn't a judge. He was a sheriff, I believe, Sheriff Bullock. And he went in, he was taking these kids out, and he was just simply raping them and getting away with it. And all the people that worked in that office, they were so scared of this man and his so-called power that they kept their mouths shut. Plus, they wanted to keep their jobs. So, you see, all these kids over the many years, finally they grew up, and then they decided they were going to put complaints in. Now, we had photographers there. My picture was taken, a whole bunch of us. And unfortunately, now here's the unfortunate part of this. He was 84 years old when he went to court. 84. I didn't care. Okay? I wanted that man to, even if it was 2 weeks, because he had an oxygen mask on, he was in a wheelchair. And I didn't care. Even if he did 3 weeks in prison, it would make me feel better, okay? Because he'd gotten no time. Nothing happened to this man. So no one can be more adamant and more involved and more upset about all things like this than a person like me, because I had that in my life too. So, okay, long story short. Another date was set for him. I think it was like maybe 2 or maybe 3 weeks later in a different county, because too many people were piling around. They wanted to know what we were out there protesting for. I was carrying a sign, NASCA sign, and there were all kinds of signs out there. And he died. So that man never did a day in jail. But at least they were trying. And I'm sorry that they didn't come forward sooner. Because we're talking about people maybe in their 40s and 50s and maybe a couple in their 30s, I don't know. You know, so we need to have people come forward sooner and press charges against those who violate them, who sexually abuse them, and all this other stuff that they go through. Because the sooner the better. And this is another thing that we're working on, trying to get even the younger people in their 20s to come on the show, and there have been some. Who were sexually abused, and, you know, we guide them, and they get their own attorneys, and good for them. They're out there trying to fight the fight, too. It has to be stopped. So any state now, yes.
I want you to know that Jillian does have 2 books at Amazon. One of them is a cookbook, and another one's her story. And she's also an inventor. She did a mommy go bag.
Okay. That's good. And this is what I'm saying. We get our books out, we get our music out, and we certainly have made and raised awareness, okay? So all of us, you know, working together, whether it be a talk show like this or whether we're out doing presentations, hopefully the world will straighten out a little bit. And we'll be able to do presentations again. And I don't mean Zoom or any of that other stuff. I mean in person, okay? Like what I was doing for years until the COVID came. Now, what we have to do is work together, you know, as a community and as a organization. It's not this organization, that organization, that organization. We all have the same passion and we all have the same purpose. And that is to make a change, to help make a change. Okay, let me go down here to Bill down here. And Bill, do you have a comment or a question to ask?
Yeah, I have a question. I want to make sure Jillian's comfortable because when I reached her, I decided the quickest way to get her on the show, which I was trying to explain, was to merge her call with mine. And she had said she wanted to pull over and call on the regular number at some point. I just want to make sure that she's okay to do the show this way, because we'll have to leave the mic open for both of us, and that's fine. But if she's comfortable. And if not, I'll give her the number to call in on, of course. So, Jillian, are you okay?
I'm okay. I just feel like Carol's taking over, and if we want to do a show on Carol, we can have a whole entire show on you because it seems like you are the one in charge. So if we want to have a show on what you think, because I'm still a devout Catholic, and for you to say what you just said, oh, we need to talk about other organizations. Well, SCSA also has a lot, and a lot of my friends have been victimized by the Mormon Church. And for you to discredit what I went through, shame on you.
Oh, no. I did not discredit anything. No.
Oh, you didn't? Carol, we can have an entire show on you because it seems like you want to be the one. It seems like you want to be the one that wants to have the entire show. You're the host, right? But I am the special guest, but it seems like you are the one that wants to be the one that has the show. And I'm not going
to
argue with someone who's been around and, you've done all that. It's ridiculous.
It's you were talking about all you were doing.
Listen, we're trying to get a story together here.
Tom out, please.
Let's get back on the track, okay? This is Jillian.
That's right.
Tom. And let Jillian continue just to talk, okay? And nobody interrupt her. That should be the deal. Bill's here. Bill, will you please step in?
I just want to make sure that she's comfortable, John. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes,
well, not
exactly.
When Carol's laughing and thinking that this is funny, because I'm about to drop the call. Because, Carol, you're rude.
Listen to me.
This is the point I'm trying to make. Let's drop this. Let's drop that. I'd rather get back on Jillian's story right now because, listen, we have people listening. We need to get back on the track of what we hear and what we're supposed to be doing, okay? And Jillian has such extensive
life. Monday, yes, Wednesday, ma'am. And Friday, people come on and they tell their stories.
Right.
And this is what we're trying to do here.
Exactly.
And I need for her
to tell her story,
all right?
Right, that's what I want to do.
Okay, let me go down to
her.
How can I tell my story whenever you're telling your own story?
All right, wait a second,
honey. How can I tell my story when you're telling your whole story? Again, you're talking.
Listen to me.
I have someone else here who wants to make a comment. Carol, listen to yourself.
Good God.
Okay, listen, guys. Listen, why don't we do this? How many people are on the panel tonight? How many people are on the panel?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us all together. And what I'm trying to get across to Jillian, which she doesn't realize, John, excuse me, I'm hosting tonight.
Hold on, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at this moment. Why don't we just get to the panel real quick, okay?
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, go to the one right now, and let's end the
right.
talk.
Right, I have Deborah
okay.
right here,
okay.
who's probably
all
wondering
right.
what
go
that's
ahead,
going
Deborah.
On here.
Yeah,
there
go
is
ahead, Deborah.
A way of running the show,
okay.
and that's
yeah,
what I'm trying
right.
to
all
do.
Right. Go ahead, Deborah. Yeah, Deborah's
yeah.
right.
Go ahead.
All right, guys. Let's just all calm down real quick. I understand all of our excitement.
Yeah, everybody take
a
deep breath.
We all are very passionate. So let's all just take a deep breath and let's
yeah,
calm down.
Thank you.
We're all doing a great job here, and we're all here to listen and to express different views. So let's appreciate other views just as well as our own. Now, that being said, I myself come from a very abusive childhood from my family. I did have molestation, and then I was gang raped. Now, I understand, Jillian, you came from a very volatile family and that you had a very volatile relationship with your father. My question was, during this volatile relationship with your father, did you ever make amends? And when he died, how did you feel and what was your coping through that whole process?
I felt abandoned. I have a sister that I'm very close to that is 18 months older than I am. And she sat me down when my father had died and was like, how did you put up with it? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, Dad was awful to you. He would beat you. He would yell at you. And then you would do whatever you wanted with him. And I think that a lot of my relationships with men reflected that abuse cycle. When my father died, I did not know what to do. I went into a very dark place. I sold my body. I sold my soul. I was lost. And I was talking to actually one of my really good friends out in New Orleans, and I shared with him that I'll never turn away from my Catholic faith, because during the worst times that I've ever had, I always had God. I was never alone.
Right.
And without that, and without actually experiencing my last abuse, I honestly feel that God is pushing me to purify my own church, to take flashlights, places that are very uncomfortable for the Catholics, and mm-hmm. shine out where there is darkness so that the spiders can come out. And so that's where I felt throughout the whole process. I did not know how. Right. I was a lucky child. I came from good money, and mm-hmm. I had housekeepers. I had people who always cleaned for me. But until I met my current husband that I'm with now, I've learned a lot of life skills. I've learned how to cope. And that's why it's very important, and I stress it again, to teach my children coping mechanisms and life
right.
skills that I lacked in.
I love that coping skills, especially teaching the children, because if I would have had that would have helped a lot. Now, with that being said, what was the relationship like with your mother and your siblings and everything after and during this whole process? I mean, before you got to the point where, you know, you said you're wealthy, and there's a lot of wealthy people. Abuse doesn't come within, you know, money ranges. It just comes within people, not
it
with...
It doesn't discriminate.
Yeah. So what was the relationship like, and were you able to make amends, or do you have a healthy relationship with the remaining people in your family after the passing of your father?
I finally have a healthy relationship with my mom. I realized that I couldn't go to her when my father had passed, because she was in such a horrible place, and she couldn't handle what I had to present to her. And it took a lot of bad wrong turns, right? And I have no regrets for any of my wrong turns, because I wouldn't be able to relate to the people who have been on the streets, who have prostituted themselves, who have sold their souls to whomever they had to sell it to make it right, correct?
Right.
So
right.
I finally came to amends when the spiritual abuse happened with the diocese of Lafayette and them covering up so many scandals within the church. And my mom's like, what's going on? And I hated my mom for so many years. She never showed up. But my mom comes from a very impoverished family. She has her doctorate in education. I have my degree in education. I have a minor in math. I'm working on my master's in trauma. And so one thing my mom shared with me, because my mom comes from an abusive relationship, her first husband threw her down the stairs, killed a baby within her womb. She's always told us, get educated. Make sure you mm-hmm. have some means to take care of yourself. So I appreciate that now. But at the time when I was going through my trauma drama, I didn't appreciate her. I hated her. I was mad at her. I actually thought that she killed my father, you know? And it took a lot of mending. You know, a lot of mending.
Yeah.
And I love my mom to death now. And I still correct her when I feel that I feel like a lot of people from 50 onwards, they hit abuse. They were told that it was okay to have your father abuse you, such as maybe like sexual, let's keep it in the family. So
such as physical, yeah. Let's keep it in the family. Hey, that's what,
yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be beat
oh, yeah.
Till you're told. And I'm not okay with that. And that's not how I construct my home. If I have any sense of any elevation, I have a husband who's a 31-year retired combat war veteran who's killed thousands of people for us to be here now to this day, for us to be walking free, right? And he has a lot of anger, and he just recently got into EMDR therapy, and he's realizing that what he has been taught is that anger is what taught him how to kill. And mm-hmm. I have a little one that has no idea what happened to me as a vulnerable adult being abused by mm-hmm. a priest. And this child wants to be the new reformed only American Pope. This child wants to be a freaking disciple for Halloween. And I keep my house, and as you know, what I've been trained, being married to a combat war veteran, you put your boots at the door. So I make sure I put my shit at the door, and he has no idea what's going on. But again, if I have any insight of my husband elevating and relating to whomever he's relating to, I stop mm-hmm. it. I take my children out of the situation, and I protect them. Because a lot of people don't know how to do that. A lot of women or men, because a lot of men are stigmatized like,
thank you
I have
for
a woman
that.
That's alpha female, you know, and she runs a show. Well, I'm not going to allow my child to be abused. I'm not going to allow my child to be yelled at. He is a baby, and he's a lovable human being. And so I'm a Christian. And I try to represent Mary, and Mary's, I love her to death, the Virgin Mary. And I try to be the most compassionate and understanding woman that I can be. And that's who I try to represent through all of this. And that's how I look at my
God
mom, because she was oblivious.
Yeah.
She had to, like, you know,
that's
pick
awesome.
Up the pieces what my dad had left.
Yeah, absolutely. Jillian,
okay.
That being
all right.
said, I have one more question real quick for Jillian.
Go ahead.
That being said, Jillian, just because other people are listening and how you're speaking about how, about what you do with your children, being what you went through, what would you say to yourself as a child now, knowing what you know, what would you say to yourself back as a child?
Is she there?
Through Bill's mic. Muted, and she's going through Bill's mic.
You muted my mic, and when you did that, you muted her, because I explained we're on the same line.
Okay,
so now it's opening.
So what I am doing EMDR, right, you started from the first traumatic episode. And what I tell that little five-year-old, I ask her what she wants to do. You know what she'd love to do? She'd love shooting her little 220 shotgun. And she loved riding bikes. And so the 39-year-old me tells her, hey, what you want to go do? And she's like, let's go shoot something. Let's go ride a bike.
I love it.
So that's what I tell myself now.
Thank you so much, Jillian.
Yeah, that was very good.
Thank you for calling in.
So, okay, we've had kind of a strange show tonight. And I don't know. There was a mistake made earlier, evidently, with who was supposed to be on, so I didn't have your information. So I apologize. However, okay, we have a format here, and what I should have done maybe was close all the mics except for between you and I so we could, you know, have a conversation and I could get to know you, but we couldn't because you're in your car and you were working off of Bill's phone or whatever. So everything was, that's why I'm laughing. It's just ridiculous. Okay, so we've gotten a lot of information from you, and I thank you for that. I'm very sorry you went through the things you went through. And you said one thing. You said that you came from a family of wealth, and I want to get it out there. So did I.
And it doesn't matter. We had hired help also. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor or if there is a middle class anymore. I'm not even sure about that. Abuse happens to all of us, you know, to many of us. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're red, or whether you're yellow. I don't care what color you are, okay? The point is that it does happen. And what happens to us as children, you know, is if we get the help that we need. Did you ever go to a therapist? I couldn't hear you at times. Did you ever go to a therapist? Jillian?
Yes.
Did you say yes,
yes
or no, honey? Oh, okay.
I said yes.
Now I can hear you a little bit better. My phone goes in and out. I live in the mountains. Sometimes I can't hear people. All right. So you did go to a therapist.
I live
That's
in
good.
The hills, so I get it.
All right. Yeah, well, sometimes that happens. But anyway, you know, yeah, it's good for people if they, you know, if they can, you know, to get the help that they need. And that can be from a therapist, and they have to know about child abuse. It can be from other people. You know, it's not just from, you know, therapists. Wherever you choose to go, like the Catholic Church, you know, I must have had a good Catholic Church because they happen to be very wonderful people to me. As I've said before, I walked down the street. They pulled me in. They said, "You're a mess." And I said, "Yes, I am." And we went from there. So, you know, I don't discount anything, you know, the allegations and all this other stuff, because this does happen. And, again, it does happen in more things than just the Catholic Church. It happens in all the churches, okay? Even those people who come and knock at your door, Jehovah Witnesses. In fact, they behave the same way as the priests do. They say, "Let us have our own people investigate this." That's what they do. So the Catholic Church isn't the only one. I don't give up Catholicism either, okay, because that's what saved me, and I very much am a Christian, very much am a Christian. So you have Christians who say they're Christians, they don't do anything. A lot of times they talk about you behind your back. They do all this other, you know, negative stuff. And then you have the good Christians. You see, it's the same thing in all the churches. It doesn't matter what it is. The point is, though, that we who have been abused, that we get the help that we need. And we get on our healing journey. And God has a plan for all of us. He just simply does. And some of us have horrific, horrific stories. Others not quite so horrific, but we're used in all different ways, you know. Now, I'm glad that you're working with the statute of limitations, because that's a biggie with me. And I believe that there shouldn't be, like I said earlier. And then also, too, the first-time offenders, it's a horrific thing that they don't get. A lot of times they get like a slap on the wrist. And then, and that's horrible. I knew of a guy that got probation. That was it. And he'd been abusing an 8-year-old for a couple of years, and he got probation. That's what made me write my book, Jillian, okay? That's what pushed me over the limit. So you see, you know, we all have our stories, and we all, as survivors, have to get ourselves out there. I mean, those of us who can. I mean, there's some people who just simply can't. Maybe they're too stuck in the past, okay, and they can't move forward on their healing journey. And that's a very sad place to be. And so those of us that, you know, are able to get out and do what we do, then we're serving society. This is the way I think God wants us to do, is to serve society, to help those, you know, those kids that have been abused. But who better than we, the survivors, you know, to help them? So whatever position we're in, whatever foundation that we're in, or whatever it might be that we're, you know, a part of, certainly, we certainly, all of us, do the very best that we can to give people tools now, because we have already raised awareness.
Yeah.
You know, someone said to me the other day, "Well, what's the solution? You know, what's the solution? What's that?"
Carol, I was just wondering, because Jillian was saying that she works with the SCSA, and I kind of wanted to find out more information. I wanted to hear a little bit more from Jillian as to what her role is and what they actually do, so that the listeners can understand what that is.
Right. I think that's what John's involved with, too. All right, go ahead. Jillian, go ahead. Maybe you can explain it to her.
SCSA is Richard created this organization so that it's not so narrow, right? We have all different walks of life. And as a Christian, we're not judging Jehovah Witnesses. We're not judging Methodists. We're not judging if you believe in the universe. We're not judging Scientology. We're not judging any of it. And at that, we all know, I work hand-in-hand with Catherine Robb with Child USA. You talked about Marcy Hamilton. That's her wife. And I know if I'm going to speak on behalf of Catherine Robb, most people don't come out in behalf of until they're about 53. There's a stigma for men especially who don't feel comfortable sharing their stories. And so Richard created this platform so that the men, they had their group on Saturday, and it doesn't matter if you were abused by dad or if you were abused by your uncle, if you were abused by a childhood friend that was 6 or 7 years older than you or your neighbor. It doesn't matter. We don't discriminate. It's a platform to where we actually give you the tools and techniques to utilize a healing path. If we hear some type of bipolar, dissociative disorder, schizophrenia, we're going to refer you out to a specialist. We have tons of therapists on our board that is going to say, hey, we're not going to trauma bond right now. We're going to shoot you out to somebody that's going to help you. And I understand that a lot of people don't have health insurance. We're going to help you get that health insurance that you need, and we're going to direct you in the right path. So Saturdays is designated just for the men's group. Sundays is a women's group. But we're on call 24/7. We have volunteers that work for us that are doctors and that are psychiatrists that will direct you and will get you the help that you need. We have people that, like I said earlier, that work with rapid eye movement, that work with EMDR, that work with all these cool new techniques that actually work. So I'm happy to be part of this because I wish I had this roadmap. I wish that I had that friend to be like, hey, I'm so sorry you're suffering. How can I serve you? What does that look like? What do you need? If you don't know what it means, let's write it out. Let's write out what you really want. What do you want in your life? Have any of us asked that question, what we actually want? The word want actually means lacking into something. Disease means not at ease with our bodies. So when we actually dissect all of this processing that we've never actually able to, like, unload it on someone, that's what SCSA does. We direct you. We guide you, and we put you on the right roadmap so that you have success, so that you are becoming a survivor and then becoming a thriver.
Well, that sounds awesome. Thank you for doing that. I mean, that's so important.
And the women are so amazing. I can't express to you the camaraderie that I met with the four women that I work with that are on the board for the women's group, and I love every single one of them. They're amazing women. They're phenomenal, and they're not Catholic. they're of all different types of religion, and I don't judge them because a Christian does not judge. We look at them for who they are. We love. We are an open door. And regardless, and I'm going to say it again, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, if you believe in Scientology, if you believe in the universe, if you believe in science-based, we're still going to love you. Because you know what? As I say in my book, you matter. Every single person on this call matters. We're alive, and we should be thankful, and we should be grateful, and we have a purpose. And it's all about finding the right person to direct us in that right path.
Amen.
I agree with that. That's right. And that's what we're here for, too, like you said. You see, that's why I'm not the only night owl. There is one other night owl. We stay up all night sometimes, and then I sleep in the daytime. Yeah, we do that. I think Deb is laughing, too, probably, because she knows, too. We have conversations late at night. But then there's those people that I don't know, you know, that call. And that's why we, you know, direct them to the programs that it's on NASCA. That's NAASCA.org. Because it's all alphabetical and it all goes by state. And I'm in New Jersey right now. Wish I wasn't in New Jersey, to be honest with you. But all right, that's where I am. And, you know, so you would go to New Jersey, you'd find it. It's under programs in the left-hand side column. And you'd be surprised how many programs there are available. You go down to your town area or by your county. And you'd be shocked how many, because we don't, you know, people don't have signs out saying outside saying this is a whatever program. They don't do that. They don't advertise. So, but this is one way of getting to programs where people can help you, okay? So that's what we offer here at NASCA. And then, of course, the contact list. We have a contact list. And the contact list, I say this at every show, we all do, Jillian, but the contact list is has a list of people that you can call, other than myself, other than Bill, other than whomever's on that list, you know, and you can talk and call them. So we all are, you know, working hard for the same goal, you know, to help fight this disgusting, and I call it disgusting, thing that's happening to our children. Years ago, we didn't have groups. Years ago, people didn't write books. Today, we're much further along, so it is happening. I wish it would happen faster. And, you know, so I want to thank you, you know, for coming on this show and describing your life, because we did finally get together your, you know, what you went through. Sorry for what you went through. And thankful that you're out there working so hard. And, you know, keep the good work up. You know, that's all I can say. This is all any of us can do. Sometimes we feel like it's not going fast enough, especially with statute of limitations. And because we want every state to be like this, you know, like Louisiana, and there's a few others. I don't know how many others right now. I'd have to look that up. Actually, have no more. Is there 23 now? Ooh,
yes.
That's even better than I thought. I thought there was about 15. Good. Now I can write that down. I have another step, by God. Okay. So it's getting better, isn't it? I mean, it's certainly better than like 4 or 5 years ago. So if there's 23 states that have no statute of limitations, is that what you're saying, Jillian?
23 have been introduced into legislative of 2020-21, and
yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you go to Child USA, I spoke with Catherine Robb yesterday as she was in Pennsylvania being a mover and shaker. She's one of my best friends, and they're not moving, and it's because of the woman that's behind Pennsylvania. And she stated that there were 23 states that open up the statute of limitations for victims, survivors of childhood sexual abuse.
Well, you just
and
made
you can also
day.
Go to childusa.org, and it gives you the rundown on each individual state.
That's perfect. Now, you see, that's what people do when they come on. You know, after they tell their story, then we ask them what they're doing today. That's why I was trying to get order, okay? Anyway, it makes more sense that way. You can, like, your brain can compute it better, okay? So it's good because everyone that comes on the show to tell a story, then tell us what they're doing today, a lot of times we get information from them. Now, you just gave us some information that really makes my heart feel good. Because at one time, there weren't that many states, you know, that there were no more statute of limitations. So that shows that there's progress. And that's how the wheel turns, as Bill says, you know, the wheel turns. and by the progress, and it's because of the survivors. People get out there, and their mouths are going. They do protests like I was doing with certain things, and we get in there. We get in the legislature, and get bills passed. So this is a very good thing. And I'm really proud of you for the work that you're doing and those people that you are involved with and for all the people who are working for, you know, the statute of limitations, not to have any. So thank you for what you're doing. So let me go back to, let me see if Bill has something he wants to add to that. Go ahead, Bill.
So I am updating the event for tonight, the description of the show for tonight, and I'm about to post it. So I apologize again that we had the wrong special guest listed, but in a couple minutes here, we'll have the right guest listed, and all her information about contacting her and various things she's into and the books she's written and all that will be included now. And this was my fault. I don't know how the mix-up happened, as I explained to Jillian earlier. But, you know, it all worked out, and I'm really delighted that she was willing to kind of pull over, which is what she did, and get on the show tonight. And she did a terrific job. So thank you very much, Jillian.
Bill, thank you for having me, and I appreciate your kindness and your compassion and your love for your organization, because you are the leader, and you show your leadership skill through the call and through your work, and I appreciate you. So thank you.
Well, it's my privilege, and it's, you know, it's people like you that make NASCA NASCA, and John and Richard and even Deborah.
Me, even Deborah. Oh, my God.
She's laughing.
I still love her.
So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you. Basically, thank you, and that in a couple of minutes, the information on this episode will have been updated, and it'll stay there, of course, for Friday the 24th from now on. So there you go. Thank you again.
Yeah, no worries. Do not worry about it. Never apologize for anything. No one should apologize for something so minuscule. Like, it's silly. And, again, it's just about bringing awareness. And we're not aware of mental health. We're not aware about what's going on in our own backyard or maybe even in our own home. Then we're not being conscious, infinite beings. So I appreciate all of your work. I love all of your women that work for you in NASCA. I've grown love for Darlene, for Victoria. I call them my friends. And whatever I can do to help them out, I'm willing to do because, again, like I talk on several talk shows. I'm in media. My friend owns a nationwide magazine. I'm all about there. I'm anywhere and everywhere. And I thank everyone to be courageous because it takes a courageous person to speak out, and I will never be muzzled. You have a voice. Use it.
Right. Well, I agree with you. We have fantastic members of the NASCA family, and, of course, you're now one of them. Since you gave us your story, you automatically become one of us. So welcome to the NASCA family.
Thank you.
I hope you're comfortable here. God bless you.
Okay. I just got the 90-second cue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, okay, thank you so much for coming on, and I'm glad you got your story out there. And thank you for all the work that you're doing, okay? Good night, everyone, and God bless.
Another morrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done. Blog Talk Radio.
What a mess.